Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our lessons, our devotional lessons, based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to open up thy very words. Father, I pray that this time of study would be a blessing and encouragement and also a strengthening to the saint of God who is listening today. I also pray for the lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood alone and nothing else, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to give them a home in heaven. I pray, Father, that this would be the very day that that individuals would trust Jesus Christ, shed blood, and nothing else. Place their faith and trust in that alone for the forgiveness of their sins and to secure them a home in heaven. And Father, with the angels in heaven will rejoice over one sinner that repenteth this day. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand. We pray you have your will and your way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, today takes us to John chapter 12, verse 19. That'll be our starting point. Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 19. Let's read that verse together. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive you how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." Now, according to verse 1 of this chapter, 6 days before the Passover, a great number had gathered at Bethany to see this man who had raised the dead. The next day they stood along the pathway as he rode into Jerusalem, laying palm branches in the way and proclaiming him to be King of Israel. But less than 1 week, the same one is nailed to a cruel cross. According to the scriptures, there were three different groups that were moved by his presence that week. First, the group going after him because of miracles. Now, in verse 9 of John chapter 12, we read this. "Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." You see, they did not seek Jesus for salvation or for spiritual help, but only because he had performed a miracle in raising one that was dead. You see, many times men seek the Lord for reasons other than salvation, but it doesn't last long. Second, the group going after him because of man. The group going against him because of man. In Matthew 27, verse 22, we read this. "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified." The same ones who had gone after him were now against him, crying for his crucifixion. It is the lot of any unsaved person to join with the crowd that is against the Lord. The third group, the group going away from him because of mercy. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, we read this. "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." None walked away from the hill or away from Jesus of their own accord. It was only by the mercy of a loving God that they weren't consumed. None of us can boast about our state. The unsaved should take note of this truth. Don't laugh at God. Don't curse those who try to win you to the Lord. The only reason any unsaved person is still alive is because God is merciful. Amen? In verse 19 of our text, it says, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." This world has not gone after him, but contrary, they have gone away from him. The one purpose of this message is to plead with those who are away from him to go after him, meet him, know him, live for him, and then look for him. I want to give you four reasons why you should stop rebelling against him and turn to him. Amen? The first reason is, he is the fountain that never runs dry. He is the fountain that never runs dry. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have accomplished in this life. If you are still unsaved, then your life has become dull and dry. Even the thrill of sin doesn't do much for you anymore. The lust of the flesh has messed up your marriage. The liquor has started a cancer in your liver. The gambling has taken away all your money, and you are in a mess. Listen, dear friend, this is why God has sent a message to you. God wants you to know that there is a fountain that never runs dry. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, in verses 13 and 14, we read this, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You don't have to search for this fountain. He is nearer to you than the one who sits beside you. He is the one that visited in Bethany 6 days before the Passover. He is the one that rode into Jerusalem on the colt while they sang Hosanna. He is the one they crucified and was buried. But he is the same one that rose from the grave and lives today. Again, we look, number one, I'm giving you four reasons why you should stop rebelling against God and turn to him, turn to Jesus Christ. First, he's the fountain that never runs dry. Second, he is the friend that never runs away. He is the friend that never runs away. It is true that the best friend you can have on earth will sooner or later go away. It may be by turning against you. It may be by unavoidable circumstances. And it could be by death. That person that seems to be your best friend today may turn to be your worst enemy tomorrow. You see, this is why you need to meet him, who is a friend, even of sinners, a friend that will never leave nor forsake. In Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs 18, verse 24, we read this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Legion was looking for a friend when he met Jesus. The woman taken in adultery was looking for a friend when she met Jesus. Zacchaeus was looking for a friend when he met Jesus. And I was looking for a friend when I met Jesus. Again, I'm giving you four reasons, my friend, why you should stop rebelling against Jesus Christ and turn to Him. We've seen so far, He is a fountain that never runs dry. Number two, He is the friend that never runs away. And number three, He is the Father that never runs out. Any earthly father that is the dad he ought to be would give all he has to supply his children in need. But there are times when funds are exhausted and he has nothing to give. For a dad who loves his children, it hurts when they want something and he has to tell them he is sorry. We may run out of means and out of funds as earthly fathers, but praise God there is a heavenly Father that never, ever runs out. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 reminds us of this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's a song that says this, my Father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. Yes, my dear friend, he is the Father that never runs out. And then fourthly and finally, he is the foundation that never runs down. He is the foundation that never runs down. You can build your life on many foundations that will soon crumble and fall. So many work so hard to obtain goals in life, and suddenly they are all toppled. Many have gained great wealth in this life, just to leave this world a pauper in God's sight. You see, material wealth is not much of a foundation. A political position is not much of a foundation. Popularity is not much of a foundation. However, there is an eternal foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, we're told this, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, when a sinner places his life on that foundation, he is secure forever. Because this foundation has been tested and tried by winds of opposition, floods of hatred, storms of unbelief. And yes, my dear friend, and it still stands firmer than the Rock of Gibraltar. Gone after him, for those who went after Jesus Christ, believed on him and followed him, were never sorry. You that have gone after the things of this world, let me encourage you to turn around and go after Jesus. Let's continue now in John's Gospel, chapter 12. And I want us to look together at verses 1 to 3. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We read this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now John identifies the little home in Bethany as being the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. This was the home where Jesus had visited many times and was very close to the two sisters and their brother. On this occasion, they had made a supper for Jesus. It was at this supper that Mary had taken the box of ointment, broken it, and anointed the feet of Jesus. This fragrance not only filled that little home in Bethany with a sweet odor, but its sweet savor ascended to the very angels in heaven, and it lingers on through the ages. In Matthew 26, verse 13, we read this. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for memorial of her. And of course he's speaking about Mary and how she anointed him with the precious ointment. There is little doubt as to the value of this ointment. John here describes it as very costly. Matthew and Mark said it was of most expensive quality. It was precious to Mary and was an indication of her love for Jesus. There were four choices open to Mary in her use of it. First, she could have used it entirely on herself, which is what many do with the alabaster boxes of their hearts and lives, amen. Second, she could have poured it on some loved one or a friend other than Jesus. Third, she could have distributed it between herself and others, either including or excluding Jesus as a part sharer. Fourth, there was a choice which she actually made, namely the devoting of it exclusively to Jesus her Lord. And when she broke it upon his head and feet, she outpoured the supreme love and devotion of her heart. You see, our life is the alabaster box, and we too have a choice. Would it not be true that we would desire to so let it be broken for him until its fragrance ascended to heaven. Our entire consecration is that which our Lord Himself desires for us above all else. Far more than our service, our money, our time, or even our prayers. There can be no substitute for this. And this would not be done by coming to the altar for prayer, but a personal and genuine decision. This would be the results. First of all, it simplifies life. It simplifies life. You see, life can become so confused when it's partially surrendered to the Lord. The dividing of our time and affection is never easy. But when it is totally broken for Him, then the management and control is all up to Him. Our steps will be ordered, our pathway will be guarded and guided, and our life will be guarded. Second, it unifies life. When you have completely given all to Him, then it blends all your motives and activities into one all-controlling aim. That aim is to please Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, we read this: make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. The third result would be, it purifies life. The soul that has been broken, the soul that has broken their alabaster box of precious ointment on Jesus, has a holy hatred for sin and dare not let anything come into their life that would displease Him. You don't find this kind using questionable language, nor dressed in questionable clothing, or going to questionable places. Not that they might please men, but not displease Jesus. Another result would be it amplifies life. It makes life worth living and someone to live for. When the Apostle Paul made the statement, "For as me to live is Christ," he was saying that Christ was first and last, beginning and ending, author and finisher. With some, Christ is present. With some, He is prominent. But with those who have broken their alabaster box of ointment on Jesus, He is preeminent and all-inclusive. The fifth and final result would be, it glorifies life. This act in a believer's life can't help but make them a blessing to others. The songwriter challenges us with these words: let others see Jesus in you. The world will see Jesus in that life that has had such an encounter with Him. So we've looked at the results. Amen. Our life is the alabaster box, and we too have a choice. Amen. And if we choose, as Mary chose to break that alabaster box of hers and anoint Jesus. In other words, our life is like that box. And like Mary, we too have a choice. What are we going to do with our life? Amen. If we make a personal and genuine decision to break it for Him, to live for Him, then we've seen the results will be that it'll simplify our life. It will unify our life. It will purify our life. It will amplify our life. It will glorify our life. The alabaster box of our lives. Mary had the love and a devotion for Jesus that every Christian should have. And what we need to do is we need to examine our lives. Do we not? You see, we have but one life on this earth. And that soon will pass. And as the saying goes, only those things we've done for Christ will last. My dear friend listening today, what are you doing with your life? Who are you living it for? Are you living it for others? For yourself? Or are you living it for Jesus? Are you allowing Him to live through you? See, all of us, like Mary, we need to take that alabaster box and break it and use it for Christ and use it on Christ as Mary did. Amen. Well, we've just about run out of time on the pastor's study, and we're going to continue next time as we go through. We're going to continue to go through this wonderful Gospel of John and our devotional lessons in John. And I just want to mention to the listeners that each one of these studies, lessons based on the Gospel of John, are available on CD. And you will be given the address at the end of the broadcast where you can write and request the study, and I'll send it out to you absolutely free. Amen, as the Lord provides. And again, I also do have all the studies that have been aired over the pastor study listed in a catalog, and I'll send that catalog out to you if you request it. So if there's something of interest you'd like to order, you can order it. Amen. Well, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.